About 2.5 years ago, maybe three, I gave a sermon on meditation. And I hope that you still remember some of the things that I mentioned, because we went over some important tools that we need to always consider when we meditate. And I'm not going to talk about meditation today, but I wanted to mention that because in our daily meditation, have you ever thought just how important you are to God? How much He loves you and how much He cares for you? Apostle Peter was inspired to write in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He said, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special peoples." I want to pause there just for a moment. You are His own special peoples. Not just somebody from out in the wilderness that roams around with no purpose in life. You are His own special people. And I will continue that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Those two verses here tells us, brethren, that this sets the stage and the foundation of and purpose for our callings while we are here. And I want to use for the title today is Stay the Course. In this life, this Christian life, it's so easy, brethren, to be sidetracked with the many things that confront us on a daily basis. And I want to go, I'm not going to bring up anything new that you don't know or haven't heard before. I just want to touch on some things that it's good to be reminded of. Peter calls Christians a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a people dedicated. See, we're dedicated to God. We're dedicated to His ways. And from this we learn that Christians are chosen for certain things. You know, I don't know how much God considered you. I don't know how much He considered me before He called us. I'm not sure about that. I don't know what time was spent in His thoughts. But I can say He did not make a mistake. God has become our friend. And we have become God's friend. But the things that we are chosen for and chosen with is that we have a privilege. We have the privilege to have a relationship with God that the world does not have, that the world cannot have. We have this relationship. We are chosen for obedience. And privilege brings with it a responsibility. Christians are chosen in order that they may become the obedient children of God. They are chosen not to do as they like, but to do as God likes. They are chosen for service. Their honor is that they are the servants of God. Therefore, their privilege is that they will be used for the purpose of God. As a Christian, we can be used only when we are being obedient to His desires. Chosen for privilege, chosen for obedience, chosen for service. These are great facts that is a part of the Christian life. And Christians have been chosen in order that they are different from the world. The difference is they are dedicated to God's will and God's service. The church of God can best be described, brethren, as the special people of God. And when we examine the word church throughout the scriptures, we see through the teachings of the Old and New Testament writings that a special people of God are called and chosen by Him to receive salvation, eternal life, as the children of God. And our hope and future, brethren, are inseparable, tied to the return of Jesus Christ. Please turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse, begin reading in verse 26. First Corinthians 1, begin reading in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So God calls, invites people from all walks of life to become His servants. But as we observe from the writings of Apostle Paul here, that the proud and the powerful rarely repent and become members of the church. The powerful men. Now God could call President Bush if He so desire, Vice President Dick Cheney, some of your men that's in high authority and power, but he did not do that. Let's look at verse 27, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are. So God has chosen the weak, the humble. And why? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of God you are in Christ Jesus. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. So it is a fact, brethren, that those who realize their weaknesses and their own lack of wisdom at the end are strong and wise. But when we look at the other side of the coin, we also find the fact from experience that those who think that they can go through life and achieve righteousness on their own will certainly meet disaster in the end. It is God that we must put our trust in. As Christians, we must walk in the ways and truth of God the Father and Jesus Christ. And there are some great things that Christ would have His people to remember. First of all, Remember that he is wisdom. God is wisdom. Christ is the giver of wisdom. He is the expert, if you will, in wisdom. And if and it's only when we have followed Christ that we can walk uprightly. Let us notice what God has to say to those who seek after wisdom and knowledge. Please turn to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. So we are serving, brethren, a God of wisdom, a God of understanding, who preserves the things that is very needful in our walk of life to guide us in the right path. God is righteous. And as we walk with him, this gives us the assurance that we can also have a close relationship with him. And we can talk with him about the needed things in our lives that will cause us to achieve this Christian way of life, that he will be satisfied. And it's not from what we can do for God, but what God has done for us. So when we look at the meaning of the word Christian, we see a follower. See, a Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple, a dedicated person to the ways of God. Please turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. Verse 21. Acts chapter 11, begin reading in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. And when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart that should continue with the Lord. In other words, stay the course. Verse 24, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the church, or added to the Lord. Verse 25, then Barnabas departed for Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many peoples. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So receiving his Holy Spirit, whenever we receive the Holy Spirit, brethren, it seals us in a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. The Bible frequently refers to Christians as saints of righteousness. And Apostle Paul explains that Jesus Christ gave himself for us, and that we might that he might purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. See, should be a part of our attitude, that we want to walk in God's ways, that we desire to do the will of God. Titus, please turn to the book of Titus, chapter 2. We will read verses 11 through 14 of Titus, chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So this verse tells us if you deny something, that means that something has approached you. Denying the fleshly lust. In order to be a Christian, we have to do that, because there are pulls 24/7, brother. And I can promise you pulls 24/7 from Satan himself will try to turn you around. So living a Christian life requires us to deny a lot of things in this life. Verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. So Christians are a cherished people of God, not because we are better than others, because God loves all mankind, but because of faith and obedience in his calling. We are a cherished people to God. Romans chapter 2, please turn there. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11. Romans 2 verse 11, Paul writes, "For there is no partiality with God." So I just finished saying that God loves all mankind, but God does not love sin. So let's continue with this thought. Romans chapter 3, over a page or so maybe. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, begin reading in verse 23. We've read this many, many times. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So we all, brethren, all of us have sinned, but it is through Jesus Christ's blood that we are cleansed, that we are forgiven. Verse 23, we've read that one. Verse 24, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 25, "whom God set forth to be a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed," showing forgiveness, "to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." So Paul shows us here that God did all of this because he is just. He did all of this because he loves us and accept us. And it's not, this is not a give your heart to the Lord situation here, brethren. Come to the altar as you are. We must repent of our sins, and then we are accepted as God's children. We must understand what this means. It means that God is just, and somehow in that incredible, marvelous grace that Jesus Christ came to bring, he accepts the sinner not as a criminal, but as his son or daughter whom he still loves. And someday, all of those people that you see walking the streets, walking the highways, sleeping on the bridges, in prisons, they will have a chance to repent and to seek God's way of life. The scriptures make it very plain that nothing we can ever do can win for us the forgiveness of God. Only what God has done for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the way to a right relationship lies not in a desperate attempt to acquittal our past performance, but it lies in the humble acceptance of God's ways and the grace which comes through Jesus Christ. You are a chosen people. God loves you. And Satan can't change that. He would love to, but he cannot. And sometimes we go through life, brethren, thinking from time to time about the situations that happens to us. But do we ever stop and think just how much God cares for us? When you leave here this afternoon and on your way home, do you realize, or do you think about how much God loves you in the way of giving you protection? How many angels are posted on the hood of your car? We don't know. They're there. How many inches have you passed within death on the highway? We don't know. God knows. God leads and guides his peoples. He takes care of his peoples. He loves his peoples. And for that, brethren, we ought to uphold God in every way. We ought to walk in his ways because we have been called out of the world. Psalm 121, please turn there. Psalm 121, begin reading in verse 3. These verses just show the shield that God places around his peoples. Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Life can become difficult at times for all of us. And it's inspiring to know that we can be comforted with the knowledge that God has placed a shield around his people. And as we endeavor to live the Christian life, things can seem hard to bear at times, but there are things that we must remember as we go through the Christian life. The first thing is never lose hope. As a Christian, never lose hope. Because hope involves an understanding of the future. See, our hope is in the future. Because we know we'll be resurrected into the kingdom of God. And God thinks about you all time, at all times. He never forgets you. Let's look at a scripture on this. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11 through 12. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give to you a future and a hope. See, God thinks about us. He thinks about us all the time. And this is on his mind that he can give us peace, not evil. He can give us a future and a hope. And verse 11 says, Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Isn't that encouraging? This all comes through the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and God the Father. Please turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 11 through 14, Philippians 3. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So using the word attain in verse 11, translated in the Greek terms, means mature, or complete, finished, or to arrive at. So Paul he wasn't finished. You know, we should never become satisfied with our spiritual growth, brethren. And I say this because if we do, we become lethargic. But we should always be pushing onward. And this is what Paul is saying here. He pressed for the prize. The goal, pressing forward, and this should be our attitude, because, you know, Paul has not yet gained possession of or laid hold on that which he seeks to be. We should always want to improve ourselves as we go through life as a Christian in information and in knowledge of the Scriptures. The second thing that a Christian, God wants us to remember is to keep the faith. You know, faith is more than just believing. Faith is trusting our lives with what we believe. And it's not an emotional type feeling thing. Faith in God says that we as Christians are willing to trust Him with our whole heart, with our lives, with our whole being. We are willing to follow His guidelines for living a Christian life as outlined in the Scriptures. Genesis chapter 15. Please turn there. Genesis chapter 15. And verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Speaking here of Abram, God accounted it to him, Abram, for righteousness because of his faith, because he was obedient to God. And the scriptures say that he mentioned then Abraham, but same individual. But God says, Abraham, he kept my charge. He obeyed my voice. He kept my commandments. And for that, brethren, we enjoy the peace that we have now in this country. It's because of our forefather who kept the faith. John chapter 5, please turn there. John chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. And you know, if we have faith in God, we will do the work of God. And the only valid work is through faith. And we can read this about this. Just turn over a page maybe to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 verse 28. Then they said to him, the multitude if he's talking about, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. So the Bible has a lot to say about faith. We can find many accounts throughout the scriptures where faith was used as a deliverer, preserver, motivator. So faith is very important in our Christian life. And we know that the whole chapter of Hebrews 11 deals with faith. And these that are mentioned by name in chapter 11 had deep faith in God. So we asked ourselves today, brethren, how strong is your faith? Romans chapter 1, please turn there. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Romans 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So what is faith? We know what the definition is given in Hebrews 11 and what it says. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We won't go there. But the scriptures reveal that there are sad times ahead for all of us that dwells on the earth, on the face of the earth. But we know what God has promised us. So let's notice a few scriptures on this. John chapter 3 and verse 36 says, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." So it's time for all of us to take note of the conditions that surrounds us in this society as we see this age coming to a close. How is our faith? How strong is our faith? Will your faith stand the test of times that is coming to be? Let's look at another quote from the book of Habakkuk chapter 2. This little minor prophet is located next to Zephaniah, not Zechariah, but Zephaniah. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It's a prophecy here. "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tables, on tablets, that we may run who reads it." So it's evident here that this message, whatever the message was, is not a pleasant thing to read about. But he continues in verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time." So what appointed time is he speaking of here? Well, there's several analogies here. But let's look at Daniel. Just hold your place here. Let's go to Daniel chapter 8. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 17. Daniel 8 and verse 17. "So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell on my face. But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end." God gives us warnings of the things that are to come. Let's go back to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Well, we need to pick up part of verse 3 because we didn't finish there. "The vision was for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak," the verse continues, "and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Verse 4, "Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." So he's saying, brethren, we need to build. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Now is the time to build our faith. Let's go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. And verse 12. "Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ." Not the faith of man. Brethren, we can't follow the man. We must follow Jesus Christ. So we must keep the faith in God to fulfill the promises that he has made to us. God will deliver his people in time of trouble. And we must develop and maintain the faith that will sustain us as Christians. The third thing to remember as a Christian is to be an example. And I can't put enough emphasis on this, to be an example. Matthew chapter 4, please turn there. Because along with good works that we have been called to do, we are also instructed to be an example of the right way that we live, which is the Christian way of life. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God," telling us that we should live by the Holy Scriptures. Apostle Paul was admonishing Timothy to do the same thing, to be an example. And when I was coming up, my parents always stressed to my brothers and I, of course, but stressed these things: never do anything to bring shame upon the family. You know, and brethren, we are one big family here. So when I go back to example, I'm saying that as Christians in the family of God, we should never do anything to bring shame upon the church of God. It's important that we think this way. It's important that we have this attitude. You know, when you bring shame upon the family, that calls the father and the mother to grieve. When we bring, or should we bring, shame upon the church of God, don't you think God grieves? I just went over some passages of scripture there where, you know, showing how much he loves us. So surely, God grieves. But Paul admonished Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." This is the way of life for Christian brethren. Notice we are to be example in conduct, how we conduct ourselves in public, in the mall, things that we you know, our dress code. It just goes, it goes on and on and on. The things that we desire openly, because we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh is going to tell you it's okay to do this. It's okay to act this way. It's okay to be in the company of these people. But what does God say? What does God have to say about that? Are we being good examples? You know, it's so easy to tell people how they ought to live. It's easy to do that. But when it comes down to having to live that way ourselves, we find it, you know, difficult sometimes. But we should strive, because, you know, through conversion, God has given us his Holy Spirit to carry the gospel as a witness to the entire world. and to exercise all the other gifts of God's Spirit. You know, we won't turn there. I'll just mention it. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, you know, he was talking about tithes and offerings here, of course. But I just want to point out the first part of the phrase here. It asks the question, will a man rob God? And it goes on to talk about the tithes. But can we rob God in other ways other than through tithes? We can. We certainly can. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that is in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I ask the question again. Can we rob God other than through tithes? When we let down, our light becomes dim. Aren't we robbing God at that time? If our examples of living a Christian life are not there, how can the world around us see the good works that will glorify God? We have just robbed God of being glorified because we didn't live up to our standards as a Christian. There are many ways we can become shining lights in the world to those around us. One of the things that will hinder us from being a good example is not being upbeat. We ought to be happy people, not complainers. Surely we're going to have trials. Brethren, we have trials. This trials comes about in all ways. I had a small trial this morning. Didn't last for about 2 minutes. But it was there. I was in the middle of just coming into Raleigh, and the car just quit. No lights. Everything went out. And the first thing I thought about, well, how am I going to get the message to the brethren in Raleigh? I'm out here in nowhere. But then a thought came, and I thought, well, I've lost all the power on my car, so it must be coming from the source of the power. Where is the source of the power? It's in the battery. So I tilted the hood, moved the wires along. It wasn't making a good connection there. Crank right up. Small trial. We're going to have them. But there are many things that will hinder us or try to hinder us in this life. But we must keep the faith. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48, since we're still there, so therefore you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect in heaven, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. So the word shall be shows of a future tense, which means that we're not perfect right now, brethren, but we're on our way to perfection. We strive to perfection. Our desire, our attitude should be trying to be perfect. But we know that's not going to happen now. It will happen in the resurrection. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "Listen, my beloved brethren. Has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" And the answer to that is yes, a great big yes, he has. God has chosen the poor. But that doesn't mean, brethren, that we just kick back without trying to improve ourselves. As I mentioned before, in personality and capabilities and responsibilities, in knowledge of the scriptures, leadership and development, education, all of this goes hand in hand in development. And let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 22. Because I want to mention something here that brings a point. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. "So all bore witness to him," being Jesus Christ, "and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?'" See, Christ was speaking, I don't know on what subject or whatever comments he was making, but they were gracious words. So I'm saying this in order that we may have a point when we are conversing with other peoples. Our conversation should be of gracious words, not a lot of foolishness. That doesn't portray the example of a Christian. Christ used every moment to give us a perfect example. So the people of God has a responsibility of being an example to the world. And brethren, our job is huge. We have a great job before us. And I want to, we're talking about examples. I want to read to you a little poem. You may have heard it. If you have, please listen to it again. The title of it is this: "When You Thought I Wasn't Looking." How many of you ever heard that before? One person, two person, three. "When You Thought I Wasn't Looking." What it says, it sends a message. It sends a message from the parent. I guess I should say it sends a message from the child to the parent, because it's saying that I am looking at you as my example. And we don't know. You know, we don't know who watches us from time to time. That's why it's so important that we, as Christians, we should always be an example. The title, "When You Thought I Wasn't Looking." And it reads thus: "When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and immediately I wanted to paint another one. So when you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat, and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned that little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer. And I knew that there is a God I could always talk to, and I learned to trust in God. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick, and I learned that we all have to help take care of each other. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give of your time and money to help people who had nothing. And I learned that those who have something should give to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of our house and everything in it. And I learned that we have to take care of what we have been given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you handle responsibilities, even when you didn't feel good. I learned that I would have to be responsible when I grow up. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes. And I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. So what it says, brethren, that your children, as parents, and if you aren't parents, if you're out in public somewhere, somebody's watching you. Be a good example. Be a Christian example. God wants us to be an example because someone is always looking. And as God's chosen people, never forget to be an example. Never lose hope. Keep the faith and stay the course.